It's Bigfoot Collectors Club with Bryce and Michael.
Welcome back to another episode of Bigfoot Collectors Club, the show where we talk to amazing guests about their personal paranormal history and share stories of high strangeness. I'm your host, Michael McMillan. With me always is your other host,
Bryce Johnson.
And missing for another week in a row is one Riley Bray.
Yeah, but
Riley
we got Bray. His girlfriend, so that's better.
Hi, are you just qualifying her as girlfriend?
Yeah, seriously, yeah, well, man. Come on, 2019.
Come on, she's music artist. She's a strong woman.
Right.
God, she's an independent, non-binary individual.
Jesus. Always getting busted in here. I can never say the right thing, as you'll soon learn.
Filling in on the engineering and on-mic producing is our dear friend, Grace Mitchell. Grace,
Hi. How
are you doing?
I'm doing good.
How's the world of music?
It's musical.
I have to say, you're looking very Riley today.
It's kind of embarrassing.
You
kind of
look like a Bigfoot hunter or a lumberjack
Yeah, I just came out of the woods, so yeah.
You were on a boat this weekend, weren't you?
Yeah, we went up to the mountains of up above Fresno, and we did some canoeing, and it was very Bigfoot-esque up there.
Love that.
So I'm still feeling the vibes.
What were you guys doing?
Vibes. It's a long story, but it is why Riley's not here. Basically, I had to go save him from, I had to do a rescue mission, because his van broke down when he was on tour with his band in Fresno. So I went and picked him up. And
this already sounds like the setup of the Indiana Jones adventure in Disneyland.
Right. Like, exactly.
Riley went missing in the Lost Temple, and you had to go find him.
Basically, so I went and picked him up, and I helped them finish their tour, and then he has to stay there and get the van fixed. So I came back, and now I'm here.
Well, we love that you're here.
Yep.
Yay. We hope you join us as Riley would on the show.
Yes. Yeah, I'm gonna have to like drop my voice like 10 dB lower in
smooth
order to
caramel.
Be like him. Yeah, exactly.
Smooth you got a nice voice. You got a great voice. And we have an even better guest today. Not better than you. I'm just saying even
I know
better than
meant,
a caramel
Michael.
Voice.
Michael, you know, no more.
Okay.
Oof.
I'm gonna stop right there. Lost it.
First Bryce and now Michael.
I know.
Yikes.
Today's guest is an actor, writer, comedic performer, and filmmaker. She created the hilarious Bajillion Dollar Properties, which recently dropped its fourth season. And she wrote and directed the autobiographical documentary Origin Story, which is streaming now. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Kulap Vilaysa.
Yay!
Hi! Hello, hello!
Hi!
I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy that you're here. When I put together this little show with Bryce and I made a list of guests, you were one of the first people I thought of that I wanted to get on this show. And we're so happy to finally have you here.
How are you here?
congratulations on Origin Story. I watched it this weekend.
It's
brilliant. So moving.
You know a lot about me now.
I do. I know. That's like a whole other podcast, too, because the one thing it didn't answer. Personal paranormal history, which we'll get to. I was watching that whole movie being like, oh boy, it's going to seem real trivial if I ask her about ghosts now.
It won't. Lao people are we believe in ghosts. We're superstitious. It is everyone's. I'm so excited to talk about whatever you want.
Oh, great.
Oh, fantastic.
Great.
Cryptozoology, into it.
Yeah.
Lost civilizations, into it.
Yes.
Ghost experiences, got them.
Oh, you're perfect.
A cult, yes.
Yes.
Oh, I love the
what's
occult.
Going on with the, like, the cult, masonry. I love Rosicrucian.
Rosicrucianism.
Thank you. Yeah. I like weird
alchemy?
Stuff.
How, what I'm are you interested in alchemy?
Yes. And let's pull it back into origin story. I turned my shit into gold.
Yes.
I'll also alchemy.
I'll tell you what else about that movie. Don't think I didn't notice that amazing graphic novel shelf you have in your home.
Yes.
Oh, boy, did I get jealous. I was like, that's what I want. Just a beautiful little room.
It's like a walk-in closet that is just comic books. Oh. Just
wow. So for those who don't know, what is Origin? I haven't seen it or I'm familiar with it.
I really
it.
Like
Please.
The way you're wearing your headphones today, by the way.
It's
you're
really cool.
Oh, DJ thanks.
Mode. Well, I was going to say DJ Jazzy Jeff in right. it.
They're a little hot, and I don't want to, like, you know, ask Grace to turn
oh,
them
boy,
down.
Because
no, it's do. All good.
He's got some hot
no,
cans,
it's
Grace.
All good.
You Grace, have no faith in me. What is
hot.
This?
I think you're the best thing that's ever happened to us, Grace.
Steamy cans.
I got steamy cans.
Hot,
what
steamy
am I gonna
buns
do?
On my ears.
No, you're good. I'm totally good. Don't worry about
Those
it.
Those are cinnamon rolls.
Just so. Two Cinnabons on Bryce's ears.
Oh, my God.
Too hot.
Mm. Too hot and sticky.
Getting hot frosting
oh
in my
gosh.
Eardrums.
So for those of us who don't know,
it is a documentary.
Yes.
Wherein I explore my origin story.
No way.
Yes. I found out when I was 14 that my dad wasn't my real dad in a really, really awful way. And then I proceeded to bury it until I was about 33.
Right.
Yeah, that's how you do it. Doesn't matter if you're originally from Kansas.
Yeah.
Or... I you grew up in, what, yeah. Minnesota?
Minnesota. Let's deal with this later. But, of course, things don't stay buried. And then when you try to dig them up, right. there was a reason why they were buried.
Oh, wild. Oh,
wow. So I go and I meet my father in Laos. But really, it's about having kind of an understanding of my relationship with my mother, which is very problematic, and also a relationship with myself.
Incredible. Basically. And where can we find this?
You can find it streaming Amazon Prime, and also on iTunes, Apple Plus. What is it called now?
Oh, my God.
Do we know?
I watched it on Amazon Prime.
Okay, great.
I have to watch. I mean, documentaries are my steez. I absolutely love them. And then the idea alone, what?
Steez.
I love it. I love the steez.
With your headphones.
It's just like you're giving me such strong 90s right now. Like,
you guys should see.
Do you need to take a minute?
Right now.
You should get a picture of me so that it can
reverted
go along.
Back to being 16 years old.
I mean, we are in the mall right now. Right.
We're in the mall. Oh, Bryce is the coolest
Bryce,
kid.
What? Do you need to take a 311 a break?
I might need an
you
ice
can take
and a Wetzel's
break.
Pretzel, bro. I mean, but other than that, I'm chill.
I'm, like, so cool to hang out with Bryce. I always, like, forge his parents' signatures to get him out of school. And, like, he let me hang out with him now. And I'm just like, let's get an Orange Julius.
Let's do it. Let's
that was
Bryce Ollie's out of here.
Holy cow!
That was
kickflip, maybe.
That was the best moment when we were in Salt Lake City. And we were having dinner, and Grace asked you who your favorite band was, and you said 311.
That was a really good moment.
Well, yeah.
That was a really good
They
moment.
Rock. Nothing wrong
They
with
do.
That.
Nothing Listen. Against 311.
So I was just doing some light Googling here about cryptids from Laos.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no way.
And
great.
I don't know if you know, the first thing that popped up
what?
Is the, now you're going to have to help me with my pronunciation.
It's okay.
I apologize.
It's okay.
The Faya Naga.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Do you know what these are? Mythical serpent-like
no
creatures.
Oh, that is
what?
Sick. So she
He's
just rolled up
tattoo.
Her sleeve and reveals a monstrous serpent tattoo.
Let me
that is
sit
dope.
Back and wow. shut up and listen.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of them before.
Well, because it's
no
saying
way.
Right here, the
cool.
Mekong River,
yes.
which is connect is your...
So the Mekong River is essentially like the border between Thailand and Laos.
Mm-hmm.
And Mekong is... Kong means river, and Me means mother, Mekong.
Cool.
So it's
the mother river.
Mother river, and the lifeblood to both Thailand, Laos, the deltas in Cambodia. Oh. So many people live off of the water, they fish and so I kept so the Nak or the Naga, they are almost like in Europe how fairies
okay
were a race of beings, so were the Nak or the Naga. some in China, they call them naga. So they're serpents, right?
Right.
Cool.
And so there's lots of tales of, you know, there were monarchies and princes. They were like one of the race of people, basically. One of the tribes of beings, basically. And so they are the protectors of the capital of Yongzhen. They're just like so many sort of mythical tales.
That is so cool.
How did you discover this cryptid and then get it?
So if you, when you go
tattooed
to,
on you.
When you go to Laos, like the iconography?
Yeah.
Thank you.
There we go. Wow.
I didn't hit the right syllable.
You spelled it correctly.
Yeah, we were with you.
Thank you. So on all the temples, they're everywhere.
Cool.
They're on buildings. They're everywhere. It's so much a part of culture and civilization and the stories. It really is like they live. And there is belief that they still, I don't know why they left. And if there's somewhat of a Loch Ness quality of that they, you know, because there's still dragon boat races that happen in the Mekong River. There's still sort of a fireball phenomenon that happens.
And they seem like they're more involved with the society than Loch Ness is. Loch Ness is more of a loner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't really get.
That's right. Like that's right.
Lone wolf,
comes
down,
eats some sheep every now and then, sure. But he's not like.
Yeah,
really.
He doesn't
about
want to
it.
Be part of the culture.
Yeah. No, this is like there's the communities, and they're also said to be shapeshifters.
Oh, no way!
Yeah,
cool. Can they shapeshift into humans?
They can, and that there were marriages between princes and human princesses,
So does the mythology extend to that these were real physical entities and not just creatures of the spiritual domain?
That's right.
That's wild.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, this
do you
rad.
Know of any other cool cryptids from Laos?
As she pulls up her neck sleeve.
I mean,
you know, it's funny that
what
you mention.
Well, I mean, there's so much. There was like sort of like the there's crossover between like Indian culture, Sanskrit culture from the kind of like north, from the north coming down, and then you also have like Khmer sort of coming up from Cambodia, and so there's a mixture of like different beings, like, you know, you've got the Monkey King, you've got like
the Monkey King was originally going to be the centerpiece of Temple of Doom, the original draft. The second they were going to do, it was going to all take place in Asia, and they were going to do like the whole Monkey King thing, and that was like an early draft of
interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
There's a Kinali, which is like a half person, half bird, and they were a warrior.
Cool.
That
sounds very
dancers.
Legend of Zelda.
Yes, it does.
Like
yeah,
the
very.
Rito people.
They're
you got one for all
cool.
of these?
I think he does.
Michael's nerd just really jumped out on that one.
As often is the case.
And there is a lot of like, I forget what they're called, but they're like it's an elephant / lion. There's, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Me.
and there's you. There's Grace. I forgot. There's Grace.
No, that sounded like my spirit animal, elephant / lion. That sounded like a really sick spirit animal.
I like it.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think of other. Well, these are real. These are real. Have you guys ever heard of Irrawaddy dolphins?
No.
They're freshwater dolphins. They live in the Mekong Delta. They have snub noses.
Were those in your movie? Because there's a little shot when you guys are in the boat.
But they're so far away. And we couldn't. I was like, oh, my father had never seen one before, even though he was from the islands there. But we couldn't get closer because it was in Cambodia, like the Delta, like it was in a different country and we couldn't cross. But they're really highly endangered. So the fact that we saw two cresting was like an incredible experience that I wish I could have shown in the film. But like it was magical to be on the river and to see these like just beautiful creatures that they kind of have. I mean, it's just not human face, but when you picture a bottle nose.
Yeah.
No.
Like a beluga whale or like a seal, maybe. What
pull
are they
it
called?
Up.
I'm gonna pull it up.
I R A W A D D Y.
They're the pugs of dolphins.
Yes, that's right.
That's wild. I forget who talks about the...
Oh, these are the cutest thing you've ever seen.
No. Let me see.
They're leaving us. It's heartbreaking.
You know what? I don't blame them, but I know it's not their choice.
What?
Oh, my God. Oh, my.
That is pretty cute.
They kind of look like an alien gray.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
They look like a cross between an alien gray and a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's a lot of damming that's happening on the river. And also, unfortunately, there is... Look at them. Come on.
Wow, that's a trip.
They are kind of person-like.
Yes. There is also fishing with dynamite, which will decimate anything. So there you go.
Well, that's the name of this episode, Fishing with Dynamite.
Yeah.
So Kulop, Bryce, we don't have any BCC news this week. Don't think. Great.
Nope.
Let's get right into
it. Let's do it.
Kulop?
Yes.
What is your personal paranormal history?
Okay.
Have you ever encountered anything strange?
Yes.
Do you believe in it? Great. We'll start there. Let's just start there.
Jump right in.
Let's go.
Put some dynamite in the water.
I'm just, you know, this is just, okay, let me, where do I start?
Start with when you shapeshifted from Naga into Kulop in 1981.
That would be a great starting point.
A year after I was born.
I have some notes on origin story.
Oh,
okay,
is needs now more, the time?
Now we need more Naga.
It's locked. I'm not going back into editing, Michael.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're moving on. Maybe there'll be a prequel. No, there will not. Okay, so like I said, Lao people, it's like it's not even like, are there ghosts? There are ghosts. Mm. And there are different type of ghosts in Lao are Pilok. So I've been brought up of like not doing certain things to not invite spirits. Like,
oh, wow.
And in my life, there have been times with certainty that I have encountered spirits and have not wanted to communicate.
Okay.
So you're cautious
of this energy or these spirits.
Yes, I don't. I'm not. I don't want it. I believe it exists. I think there are probably better people to communicate with.
Yeah. What do you think ghosts are? Are they the spirits of the dead or souls?
Yeah. I think that.
Yeah.
And then I think there are also demons. And I think there are also angels are a different word for angels.
Are they ancestral? Are they a different spiritual like creature altogether?
There are like ancestral, like Pilok means like you're being haunted by like, and it's probably somebody who's alive, but then there are also like specific, and I'm not as versed because I'm scared of there's certain different types of like demon, there's like the woman who, like, there's like a headless woman. There's a woman who's just head and torso.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Is it the one? There's one that I've heard of.
Pikankoi.
That is like a head, torso, and guts of a woman who like haunts.
Yeah.
No thanks.
So it sounds like there's different archetypes
these
of these.
These are scary. Yeah.
I am somebody who I think will be good in sort of an apocalyptic situation or when shit goes down.
Which it will. Yeah.
It will. Like, I have certain skills for to survive, and anything truly can be made into a weapon. And I've really sort of made my life to figure these things out. Do not like a scary movie. Fuck you. I'm never going to Halloween Horror Nights. I can't even say it. Because it's not fair to the performers. Because I want to hurt them.
Right.
Because they're coming at me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I want to come at them.
So, no. What's the one where they throw a bag over your head and then they touch you a lot?
That is
snack. It's like,
is that like an escape room?
It's like,
was that your birthday?
You. Yeah.
That's just October 21st in my house. And I'm the only one there.
Good God.
It's Sleep No More. That's the one where it's like real big production and they like kidnap you, basically.
Like in New York, right? And then you also like follow people around and they do theater.
It's too much. I don't need that in my life. I really don't. I like a scary movie. I like a scary story. And I forgot to mention that we are in the second week of our month-long Halloween celebration.
That's right.
So our story today is a little fucked up, and okay. I'm apologizing in advance.
I like a story.
Okay.
I do like a story. Movies I'm not into as much, but if
you
there
don't
is,
want to see it,
I don't want to see it. But if there, you can hook me in if there's any sort of like folklore, yeah. or if there's any like backstory about why. Like, I'm not into just like slashing or whatever, but like, I'm not into
like,
that.
Like, where's your backstory, slasher?
Yeah, like, what happened to you? And like, something went down right because you were like, what was the possession?
Right.
What was the story of the possession? Yeah. Like, The Ring got me. That
right.
super scared me, but I'm like, what? Mm. I kept thinking, what happened to Samara? Mm-hmm. How'd she get in there?
Mm-hmm.
What? Why her mom put her in there?
Right.
You
These
know?
Are the tough
right.
questions.
Why? I don't know how she got in that tape.
You must...
Why is she in the well?
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, you must like Jason. Jason has
yeah.
a good backstory.
Yeah, he does. I guess he does.
Weird kid drowned in the lake.
Yeah, I guess.
Are you the type of person where if it's culturally like appropriate to watch a horror movie, like for instance, like The Sixth Sense or like It or like, I don't know, Alien, like something that everyone's watching, will you watch it?
But I won't.
Like
I wasn't
the witch or something. I don't know.
No,
not at all.
And I
not
tried to be cool for a long time, but
right.
I'm nearing 40. I'm like, I'm gonna live my life how I want to. Mm. Like, I can't be pulled into it.
No peer yeah. pressure.
I cannot.
Yeah.
It clowns? Was, scary was, clowns? Yeah. No.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
That is a classic.
Great.
Absolutely great movie. Great movie.
But you are into like sci-fi, fantasy,
yes.
comics, all that,
yes.
obviously. So
mm-hmm.
got it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Definitely.
So let's go back to something you said a little bit earlier.
Okay, what I said.
Where you said that you have had experiences with pee that you
okay.
think
yes.
in your life. Is that how you say it? Is it with the pee or pee?
Pee.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can you...
And not urine, you guys. Stop.
Come on. We all see the joke. It's sitting right there on the table. We're not taking it. What were some of those specific encounters or moments? Walk us through a couple of those. And, you know, everyone... Because the thing that we always find is like, you know, it's rare, even though there's one of us who's had, in sitting in the room, I'm pointing to Grace, who's had, has witnessed a real-life UFO. But most people seem to have, like, a ghostly encounter at some time in their life. For a lot of people that come and do our show have had something like this. So
there's so many people who haven't, though, that I...
That's true.
That I've no. I guess they're drawn to you because they're being called.
Well, you know, and it's funny. We've made this joke a million times on the show, but like we've found you obviously have a large part in the world of comedy, and we have found that I don't know if you find this to be true, but actors
yeah.
are very into ghosts. Whereas comedians are like, no.
No,
so
you're
skeptical.
Right.
But actors are like, no, trust me. My spirit ghost like told me I was going to be an actor. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's,
that is interesting because it's like, yeah, most comics I know are like,
well,
logic.
Yeah.
Like,
which I mean, I guess it makes sense. Actors are like very imagination and emotionally led. But like Ben Acker... I think it was Ben Blacker who was on our show. He and his wife both individually saw a ghost in their house.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
And still don't believe in ghosts.
He still didn't believe.
Saw
well,
a
I don't understand.
Physical
neither
human
did I, trust
being
your...
sitting in an old-timey suit in a chair in their house, didn't tell one another that they had seen it on separate occasions until a mutual, I think Ben mentioned it to a mutual friend. He goes, yeah, your wife saw the same thing. Why are you guys talking about this? And he sat here and he was like, yeah, but I don't believe in ghosts.
Well, what was that then?
Exactly.
A shared hallucination
no.
that wasn't shared at the same time?
It was a ghost.
That's a,
I agree.
There's a disconnect when people talk about that stuff. There's like, oh, yeah, there's got to be an explanation for it, even though I saw it and I can't explain it. It's ridiculous.
I mean, I'm open to the idea that like we don't understand what ghosts are.
Yes.
And that there could be a interdimensional or scientific explanation. They may not be, you know, maybe it is just like a biological echo of some kind, mm-hmm. some sort of fingerprint on time. I get all that.
Or if like you somehow fall in without the use of LSD, you
right.
you briefly there's a glitch.
Yes.
And like the antenna switches a
well,
little
now you're
bit.
Talking
glitch
some
in the matrix. Yeah.
Now you're talking third eye. Yep. Now you're talking DMT.
Yes, I am. The yeah. spirit molecule.
Yes.
It's a great book.
Someone has read some Dr. Is it Rick Strassman?
Rick Strassman, yeah.
Yeah.
I have. Yeah, yes. Okay.
So
for me, let's see. Let's talk about when I was in Laos and we were staying in Thakak, which is where my father is from, and we were staying in a motel in the second level of a two-story kind of motel. And I am watching, there's two beds, my two much younger sisters are sleeping in sort of a twin bed. They're asleep. I am watching, I think it was
Rango, that gecko animated film starring Johnny Depp.
Really close. No. 2.5 Men, dubbed in Thai. Okay,
much better.
And I'm watching that, and all of a sudden I feel a sort of pressure upon my chest, and I hear two children playing. At first it seemed like they were running around on the roof, and then it was as if they were playing, if there was almost a little less space between myself and the ceiling in the studio right now, just a little bit lower, maybe to there.
Oh, wow.
They're playing here.
So about... So it was 4 to 5 feet above your head.
Yeah, and it's not visual. It's sensation. Sound. It's a sensation. They're playing. They're not. It's yeah.
And this is a full oral or audio sensation. You're hearing. It's not like you're receiving it telepathically. You're hearing it in the room.
Well, that's interesting. But hard to say.
Okay.
When posed with that, I'm not sure.
Okay, that's totally fair.
Girls aren't up. They're sleeping. TV, you know, who knows? Yeah, I guess I don't know. Okay. I perceive it as, in the moment, I perceive it as if there's a weight, there's air, there's a sound of children playing.
Okay.
That's creepy.
And what's the first thing that comes to your mind in that moment?
I don't want this, and I don't want to communicate. I know it exists, and I am not a medium.
I am not going to talk to you.
I'm not a medium. And my second example is kind of a clearer version of that that life philosophy. First time I went to New York, I think I was 25. I think most people have been in New York at that point, but this was my first time. My friend Monica Passantes moved there. And she was staying with a friend in Stuyvesant Village, Stuyvesant Town, and it's like pre-war rent control. And so I had always heard like, oh, New York apartments are tiny. Not this apartment. This was huge.
Cool.
And they had like so little.
What part of town is that in?
Stuyvesant? It's like. The buildings are like this. They're tall.
Is it in like Brooklyn?
No, okay.
Don't worry about it.
Not quite
it.
Brooklyn.
Okay.
Not
I never
quite
lived
Brooklyn.
In New York. I'll look it up right now. Okay. It is, yeah, it's right here. It's I'm pulling it up.
Thank you.
Not connected to the internet. Anyway, go on.
Yes. So,
I think it's Lower East Side.
Okay. So there's like a huge main room with parquet floors. I mean, this is a large apartment, two large bedrooms. Mm-hmm. Nice galley kitchen. Like, wow, this is huge. What are they paying? Something like $1,200 at the time.
Wow.
This is insane. Insane. And the reason why is her
yeah, it's just above the East Village.
Okay. Her friend, her roommate, she basically sort of inherited. Her grandfather was still alive, but he needed to move out of the apartment. And so it's sort of through legacy that she has the place. On the last day that I stayed there, I was sleeping in Monica's room for the most part. And then the last night I stayed there, her roommate left, and she's like, you can stay in my room. I was like, okay, cool, thank you. And so I went to bed. I had my iPod in. I was listening to Coldplay. Shh, nice. quiet.
that's probably what brought it on.
Yellow.
This isn't the first time we've heard that.
And then my glasses are off. If you guys can kind of tell, I have bad eyesight. Yes, they're very...
Oh, yeah.
Horrible.
You and I are, yeah.
But I felt my eyes woke up. They shot open. I felt cold. I felt a chill. I was not alone. I'm lying down. I hear Chris Martin's dulcet tones. And then I feel and I look and there is, I can't see detail. It's a woman and she's wearing a lot of clothes. And she is asking me why I'm there. She is, there's a, she's looking at me. She's, you know, and I was like, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this.
You don't get to ask covers me
over
shit.
The head.
I'm not going to do this. Like, she's turning what up else Coldplay. Do we have?
Right,
scientist. In the morning, I ask questions. You mentioned that a grandfather lived here. Where's grandma? Grandma passed away. Where did grandma pass away? In that room.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, no.
She was just, I think her vibe was like,
there's
you're not
another
my
woman in my
you're
bed.
Not my granddaughter.
Right.
You're not my granddaughter.
Wow. Yeah.
Who are you?
Yeah, just like checking in like, what's up with
who
this?
Who are you?
Yeah.
This is my house. Like,
was she talking directly to you?
At me.
Mm.
And it wasn't it was less like conversation and more like being vibed at
Kula.
Yes.
I think you might be.
I refuse.
A medium.
Nope. You can refuse the call and then you can stop reading the book.
Your t-shirt size is a nice cozy
medium.
It
actually is not. It's not. She's a large. And so she's not a medium.
Yeah. I think you are.
Well, it doesn't make you a medium just if you experience a few spirits.
Yeah.
I think there's a sensitivity.
Puts the odds in your favor.
no, thank you. There's sort of like a sensitivity and there's like, I am a skeptic about certain things, you know, but...
What are you skeptical about?
Okay.
And you better not say Bigfoot. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm very much into Yeti, Bigfoot. No, like, that stuff's very interesting to me. hominids, cryptids. Mm-hmm, interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, like, I'm not going to believe everything that some... Even like... I'm full California. I do the shaman thing. I do, you know, various healing modalities I've done. But it's like, I am picky and choosy about that stuff too. It's not everything.
I think as
you
should be.
You know, like, I'm not going to prescribe to everything or subscribe to everything.
Yeah, but it sounds like you're open to this phenomena, whatever it is. Or you're open to the idea of something existing beyond just the physical realm. And that might open you up to certain encounters, whether you're a, you know, medium or not. You know, when you're open to these things, they seem to attract back to you, you know?
Yeah, I think it will, lots of things may come back to, you know, my origin story and like being lied to for years. So there's things like I'm very much into like alternative history, which I know this is sort of sidestep from what
we're talking about, but
I don't think that history is as linear as we've been taught. I think it's even been proven that there were other continents, and when we can talk about Atlantis and the Mu, and
they
like,
just discovered a whole big continent underneath Europe last week.
Oh, last week.
Yeah. Well, a couple weeks ago as you're listening to this, but last episode we covered it.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by that. I mean, we see in Malta, we see tracks that go into the water. I'm very much into Graham Hancock. Does everything he say...
I was going to ask you about Graham Hancock because you were talking about the...
Fingerprints of the gods, which would then lead to aliens, which would then lead to, you know, like, how were the pyramids built? So all these things are fascinating to me, and I just don't think... there's just so much possibility and like greater knowledge to be had by thinking about like, oh, it things aren't so linear. And just because someone has told you something like he's your dad, it can come out a little different.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Like,
well,
I think the takeaway is that history is up for grabs. You know what I mean? Nobody really knows, you know, where we came from. Even the, you know, and what they teach in the schools is just so banal. It's like, yeah, I get it, you know.
I ain't from no monkey.
Yeah. That's all I know. I'll tell you that right now. I'm an Atlantean high priest.
I'm Lemurian, motherfucker. I'm
fucking.
Oh, yeah. But. I got me some Lemurian crystals. Yeah, I rub them down like where my knowledge at.
We got blown off by the Lemurian crystal guy in the desert. He would not.
I think
talk
he was afraid
us.
Of our powerful energy. That's all.
True.
Yeah. He wasn't into us.
But Kulop, I think you bring up a really good point, too, especially like, you know, there you do live, whether it's under the impression of what your family tree is or the nature of reality itself. I mean, you grow up the first 5, 6, 7 years, I mean, years of your life, anywhere from, you know, up till age 10, usually with the belief that the world is and works a certain way. You know, even like the spoiler, hey, if they're kids listening, if you're listening with your kids, we're going to get into some Christmas spoilers. Okay.
All right.
And it's
but
only
like
Halloween,
when you learn that, like, you know, Santa's not real, that was like a big paradigm shift. And then, you know, that leads to me going as a kid, like, all right, if Santa's not real, then right. Is God not real? And then, or like, what else are adults hiding or lying about? You know, obviously, like, puberty's a weird, crazy time where you're like,
puberty's
oh, now
real, bro.
I'm entering into like a whole, I know, but you. I'm saying it is a reality shifting thing.
I know, I was just
and
kidding.
It always kind of has put in the back of my mind this idea of, all right, what are the other secrets that I'm not being told?
Yes.
When is the other, there's a part of me that, and I think this is what appeals to a lot of people about the Masons, the Freemasons and secret societies, cults and all
the
this stuff.
The Knights Templar.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That there is hidden knowledge out there, and there
on
are
that 33rd
hidden,
level.
Yeah,
for sure.
Where you're going to be revealed another version of reality that you don't know about, that the rest of
take
us are being
the
kept.
Take the pill, right?
Right, yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah, exactly.
What's the thing and, that'll open you up?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Smoke the DMT.
And
that's
I keep,
right.
I keep going, when is that going to happen again? And I think it's like, well, it's now you realize as an adult that's... It has to be self-invoked in some way, you know?
Yeah, and then
but...
there's also when my friend Harris died, I remember going, like, this idea of death is too big for me. Mm. And I remembering, like, drowning in it. And as anyone who's experienced grief, of course, it comes in waves. But, like, just, like, but this 30-year-old vibrant person who... that he does not exist and that he is not just like to this day a lot of his friends just joke is like he's just not gonna he's gonna show up again.
Mm. Mm.
Like he like he's just been gone for a little bit, right? Like
yeah.
He'll just come back, but that's not the case, and that's a it's such a massive idea that you're
that,
here and then you're gone
that
like, it's
that
just,
disappearance
yeah.
is so insane, it's so heavy.
Yes. So then, I mean, and this is what we're talking about, the paranormal, we're talking about ghosts,
yeah,
we're talking about, you know, and so it is, there are certain big ideas that I was like, okay, I guess kind of get the idea of initiation, right? And like you being able to, that certain knowledge you'd have to be prepared to take in, to hold, or, you know, you...
It'll break your brain.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like Indiana Jones.
Like, bring it all
right?
back to Indy.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Like, what's the Ark of the Covenant?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Melt your face off.
Melt your face off if you can't take it.
Yeah.
It will.
But if you've been working out and like getting numb in certain areas, you take it in. It's like, yeah. Like,
yeah.
You know, like not everybody can take to Marvel, right? Like if you put on that glove, Thanos's glove,
yep.
You got to be built. There's a cost, right? So I do think about that, you know, like, so you do the initiations, you wear the robes and the mask.
Yeah, no.
Because you're just... in the knowledge you can't have, it has to build to a certain point. And
so where are you at with that? Like, what is that?
I don't know.
Mean
I still eat
right
dairy.
Now.
I'm sure that dulls me.
Initiation denied.
Come yeah. on, pineal gland.
No, let's go. My sugar intake.
Fluoride, dairy, sugar. But yeah, I mean, like,
all clogged up.
I mean, do you feel like you're like at a? I mean, not to make it all. You know, I'm happy to talk. I don't want to. I don't want to make it all about your movie, but the thing that I thought was really cool about origin story is like that's definitely initiation. I mean, that in and right. of itself, you're sort of going through some sort of transformational ritual in that whole film. You know what I mean? And so, you know, there's yeah. that moment where you're with your husband at the end of the movie and you're like, I think talking about, can't remember the specific conversation, but you're like, if this, like, there's a moment where you guys are kind of talking about the path you're on now, career-wise and creativity-wise, and it's almost like you needed to go through this part of your life in order to break through to this other space in your life.
Yeah.
I think about that a lot too. It obviously comes up in therapy, yeah. like those things that block us and prevent us. And that's just very practical. And that's not even true. Necessarily supernatural. But I think oftentimes the efforts to get through those personal blocks, to get out of your own way, to get over trauma and get over the stuff that's happened to you that I haven't dealt with, it does feel like a magical process yes. and a supernatural process to get through that. It's certainly cathartic, you know,
definitely
right?
Definitely cathartic. I do feel battle-born. Like, I'm certainly through that process was bruised and battered, but I'm stronger
yeah.
for it. And there's so many things, especially in my 20s, and my early 30s, where I was just like, if I do this, I think I might die. Like, and I haven't. And yeah, if right. anything, if I had the ovaries to go meet a stranger in Laos who's my father and I survived,
mm-hmm.
then I can probably do the stuff that we like. Well, you know, right. there's a lot of things.
And not-
you start to feel the weight and prioritize things and know what I'm capable of.
Well, and not only that, but you're also taking that process and turning it into a piece of art. You're forcing yourself to look at yourself and your family and edit that together and create a story out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that, I mean, most people just unpack this stuff in therapy. They don't then go make a movie about it, you know?
And in that process, that was the hardest. It's like, oh, yeah, like going to Laos, you know, get a plane ticket, but figuring out how to tell that story and to put form to my dysfunction,
yeah,
that was tough. Yeah. And we're not meant to have footage of our memories in different camera angles.
Mm.
And it's trippy. It's yeah. trippy to see myself not say something when I could have. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you press him? And then to feel those feelings, judging that person who is me and then directing, like it's a
strange.
It's a mind fuck.
It's psychedelic.
Yeah, it's a little bit. Yeah, yeah. And then while being so in it
yeah, right.
and just so split, and then the act of doing the film is bringing it together and deciding, well, sure, that's interesting, that did happen, but what's the story mm-hmm. the story, what do you want in the end, what, you know, making those choices.
But then there's also like these moments of joy, like yes. on the river and seeing those dolphins, and then you know, being like, oh, this is, I am in this magical place. You know
yes.
what I mean? So is this really like, it yeah. is a magic, you sort of created your own magical ritual.
And this tattoo is about that.
Yeah.
I went through this experience and then I this is my only tattoo and I got a massive one of a serpent. Like,
yeah.
Well, you did it right. It's
I
awesome.
It was because I went, this thing happened and it had been happening for, you know, as many years as I was alive. And I felt a sort of like this is how I'm going to commemorate that. And it was ritual.
Yeah.
But like in terms of my initiate, like I do good and then I don't, and
sure.
then I do great, and then I'm very human, and then I'm like small, but then I'm big, and then
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's the thing about, you know, initiation. I mean, even though it's a process of rebirth and, you know, a phoenix rises from the ashes, it doesn't mean you're perfect or that you're on some unscathable level. You know, you still have to, like, once you get, I think, you know, to other levels, there's still going to be new problems and challenges, and the initiation process never really stops. I mean, you know,
yeah, and that's
there's
the
always
tough
another
stuff.
Level above, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I was like, and especially if I've ever in my journey of trying to heal myself and be a better person, I think of it like as like, oh, wait, no, it's like a Nintendo game, and like once I beat a level, then yeah. I'm done with that level.
Yeah.
Well, that's not necessarily true. Sometimes you backslide, sometimes you, and I'm like, and
absolutely.
I would get so upset, like, I already figured that out. Why am I doing this still?
Except level 33. That's the last level.
Oh, man.
The 33 is the last level.
That's right. And it's at Club 33 in Disneyland.
Every level after that is just 333.
Yeah.
Yeah. Transformation is fucking hard, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when you're.
What?
Constantly haunted by ghosts.
And it's not.
It was two occasions.
I mean, there's some. I'm trying to think. Those are the most.
That's too many occasions. That's like too much for me.
I think there are far more than two, and you're just not being honest with yourself.
There are some times where I've like, we got like, Scott's just like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I remember we were at, he was like, wanted to show me. Like it was like the middle school or elementary school that he went to in like Cypress, Orange County. And I was just struck like, we need to leave now. And he was like, what? I'm like, we must get in the car now. Like I just get certain feelings that like Spidey senses. So.
Right. Totally.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't want, I cannot believe you. I believe you exist. I'm just not interested in like seeing where this will go.
Right.
Like,
right.
What's your interest in shamanism? How do you explore that?
In the modality of healing and wanting to as a modality for healing.
Gotcha.
I've always like if I'm looking like at tarot cards and stuff, I tend to prefer cards that have like animals.
Yeah.
Animal, I can picture, I don't really understand like cups. I know what cups are, but you know what I'm like?
Yeah,
like
right.
The hanging man. Oh, the sure. This is cool awkward.
Up, you
what?
Might.
I mean,
you're no, that's
you're
cup.
Into this shit. I mean, you are deep into this shit.
Yeah. My 30s was this like, 30s was this, I called it the wellness train. And I just tried a bunch of different stuff, and some stuck, some didn't. I still kind of do sort of journeying on my own, going to certain places.
I mean, it sounds like it. You're I mean, you're talking our language. This is all the stuff that we're interested in is lost civilizations, shamanism, other worlds, spirits, you know, the unknown, death, you know, initiation, self-initiation, you know, these are all the things that propel us to, you know, journey not into our only psyche, but into this outer world that, you know, everybody else thinks they can describe or reduce to a materialist world. You know, these are, I think, what interests us. And I'm just kind of curious, I guess, as to like, where do you think this whole interest sparked from? And I suppose if I watched your film, then I might get an idea, which I will.
I don't know. I mean, would you? I don't know if you would.
It maybe comes from before that even, huh?
Yeah, I think even when you were reciting, cause everything you said, I'm so interested in. I think it comes into this idea of connection and being interconnected and it being beyond like material things.
And that's what the animals kind of do for you, right?
Yeah, and they represent something to me. They're sort of they're
totems.
Yeah, they're not marred by stupid shit like
absolutely.
Twitter.
Absolutely.
Right, right.
Look at him.
No, like, absolutely.
She's pointing Nova.
Nova's so blissed out
when
right now.
Nova is scared, he gets up. And he leaves. He fights, or he doesn't sit there lost in his feelings. But I don't want to offend anybody.
Like, it's a pure consciousness. Yeah. You know,
he truly
it's not self questioning.
I have to shit.
Yeah.
Here I go.
Yeah.
It's. Meanwhile, this bitch goes to.
Oh wait, Kulop's actually shitting.
Yeah. I go to Miraval and I'm like, let me go try this horse therapy. And truly, you guys, I was the first up because I'll always go first because I'm an Aries moon.
I love
and
that.
All we had to do was scrape, touch the horse,
yep.
To have him kick up his hoof so we can clean the shit off.
Yeah, right.
And it was so hard for me. It wasn't at first. I was crying. I didn't want to hurt this massive being, by the way. Like, I'm like, no, I'm a monster. I wouldn't want to hurt it. And he's like, just do it. It was such a...
I've seen this done. It's amazing.
Miraval? What's
Miraval? Miraval is what I call probably Rich Lady Camp.
Oh, okay.
Because...
is it a town?
There's the one that I went to is in Tucson. It's a hotel. It's a resort. Okay. Oprah and Gail have been there.
Gotcha.
That gives you a sense.
Got a little, like, little flavor.
Yes. Yeah, there's a little flavor. You can go there. There's like mindful eating, and you can take various yoga classes. There's, you know, you can walk a stone labyrinth. You know, this is the things that we're doing. Is that right? What I'm saying? You know,
sure.
Where it's like
right.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, that's it.
You could get trapped in a maze for hours at a time.
David Bowie shows up.
Might fight a minotaur at the center.
But I've seen this therapy technique you're talking about with horses, and it has this incredible healing factor that seems somewhat hard to explain because, like you said, all you're doing is approaching this left side of the horse and lifting his foot.
I just gotta do this. I just gotta do that, and he'll kick up.
Right.
And I'm like, I can't. Why do you think you're... Like, literally, in this man, this bearded man who... Casey Wilson, who's with me, bought me the book. It's not about the horse.
Right.
he's just like, what is going, you know, why do you think you're so problematic? What do you, like, finally I get to do it. It happens. And then I start scraping. He's like, you're scraping the shit on you.
Wow.
It's amazing.
But that way, I'm just like, yes! Yes! Just towards my body.
Metaphor after metaphor.
I'm just like, what? So when going into like the upper or lower world and seeing who shows up, they're usually like animals for me. They're usually... you know, like a wolf or a moose, and they're telling me things, and like it's comforting to me. They're the animals.
Do they show up in dreams a lot?
Sometimes.
They talk to you in dreams?
Sometimes. I mean, I have like lucid dreaming a lot sometimes, but sometimes I don't remember. Sometimes I have weird programming that has nothing to do with anything, I think.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Stress dreams happen too that are like just nothing but stress and anxiety. Exactly.
Yes. I've been thinking of getting into astral projection. I'm serious.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Good.
Dude, I just love your segue sometimes, that's all.
Well, she's talking about lucid dreaming.
Do it.
I've experienced and I've tried that. I was like, it's very difficult. And I was like, you know, I love my sleep. So maybe I'll try the awake version of what I think lucid dreaming is. And that's, you know, obviously they're two different things, but I was like, I think I'm going to try to learn how to astral project.
People learn how to do it because sometimes they'll have sleep paralysis, which causes astral projection.
Right.
And then they'll be like, what the hell was that? And then they'll look it up and be like, oh, I just like astral projected because of my sleep paralysis.
No, it's interesting.
And that's how I learned about it from a friend of mine who had sleep paralysis. And I was like interested in astral projecting from then.
I'll let you know how it goes.
I wanted to know if there was a specific animal, like a specific one that comes up a lot.
Right now I'm thinking wolves, but then I'm also looking
at him.
No, that's
he's mesmerizing.
That's the good one, the wolf.
Yeah, but like I see moose. I see, you know.
Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, I see.
What's the connection to the moose?
Let's see. I don't know what the connection with the moose. I mean, there's, you know, I'm from Minnesota. There's the big, you know, backwoods north. Mm-hmm. Not that, but the Twin Cities is just the tiniest part. And it wasn't like I was in the Great North a lot, but they're huge. they're very auspicious animals. Usually bearers of good things, are very strong, but don't fuck with them kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
solitary too.
Solitary, that's true. I mean, the dragon, the serpent has been, you know, a snake kind of thing, but in the last 5 years. Slytherin. This is about Slytherin. It turns out I'm a Hufflepuff.
That tracks.
She's into everything.
Or am I a Ravenclaw?
I'm Ravenclaw. You might be in my house. Pottermore said I'm Ravenclaw.
I think I'm a Hufflepuff. Scott's a Hufflepuff too. I think we're both Hufflepuffs.
That tracks.
From what we're talking about, it definitely tracks. I'll start talking about ayahuasca and I was like, yeah, you're a Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
What were we talking about before?
Moose,
sorry.
Animals, spirit animals.
Before
and
that.
Then the dragon.
Oh, well, also with snakes, that's like DNA, right?
Mm. Yeah.
That's totally. Medicine. Mm. That's also your intestines. That's your, like, it's just, it's your womb. It's your, you know, it's health. It's flexibility. It's
mobility. It's the giver of forbidden knowledge too. That's it goes back to the Garden of Eden and the serpent offering.
That's true.
Knowledge of the unknown. Which why wouldn't
it's
you
infinity,
want to know?
Right?
You know.
Yep.
Who would want to stay in the unknowable? Who would want to stay?
But that's the whole thing. Is that's when binary thought came to be.
Yeah. Well.
is when we took that bite and we went, oh, I'm different from this, which is different from that. And we started giving a language and name to everything. And that's what the fall is really.
Yeah,
about,
totally.
Is that we've.
Which,
falling,
I mean,
from the singular.
God, that's that one story alone you can dissect and analyze until the cows come home. But it's so such a strong motif. You
but
know?
That's that the go ba- then back to like this, like how we're interconnected. And how we're not, like, that whole, like, you mentioned this before. When we're nine, we start to all of a sudden see how everyone sees us. And before,
totally.
You, we're all just like, we're here, and I'm a kid. And all, for some reason, like, around 9, 10, that's when, like, you just start the, how what people think of you and how you're supposed to be and who you should be.
Ugh,
that's why right. they say if you're kind of stuck.
What a burden.
What a burden. If you're kind of stuck as an adult and you're like, what do I want to do? If you go back to, like, around 9, 8. What did you like to do then as a mm-hmm. kid? Touch back into that, and maybe that's the answer to where if you're stuck now.
Definitely like talking about Bigfoot and UFOs.
Yeah, for sure.
Also, if you're dealing with self-image issues, definitely come to Hollywood.
Right, right.
I know.
Oh boy, oh boy. All right.
I know.
Cool up. We have to move on. This
okay.
is awesome. We could actually talk to you for hours.
For sure.
But we have a game we like to play. I think I know where you're going to mostly fall on this spectrum. It's called Bullshit.
Okay.
Or Believe It.
Mm.
I'm going to go down a list of things. And this is our Halloween. It's more Halloween themed this month. But you're going to say... Just bullshit if you're into it. Or wait, bullshit.
Wait.
If, sorry. Believe it if you're into it, or bullshit if you're not.
Okay.
Or if you don't believe it. Okay, here we go. On your mark.
Yeah.
Get set.
Okay.
Ghosts.
Believe it.
UFOs.
Believe it.
Bigfoot.
Believe it.
Angels.
Believe it.
Vampires.
Believe it.
Shadow people.
Believe it.
Loch Ness Monster.
Believe it.
Alien Greys.
Believe it.
Werewolves.
Believe it.
Parallel universes.
Believe it.
Zombies.
Believe it.
Shapeshifters.
Believe it.
Heaven.
Okay, believe it.
Hell.
Believe it.
Yeti.
Believe it.
The mummy's curse.
Believe it.
Astrology.
Believe it.
ESP.
Believe it.
Witches.
Believe it.
Demons.
Believe it.
Atlantis.
Believe it.
Mothman.
I don't know, probably. Believe it.
Reincarnation.
Believe it.
The devil.
An entity, like, yes, believe it.
The apocalypse.
Believe it.
Halloween.
Yeah, it exists.
You did so well. I got to get in there.
I mean, literally, like, we talk
that's
about everything.
That's my girl. My girl right here.
Bryce
on the
just
couch
gets really happy when someone just says, believe it to everything.
I mean, I guess I don't know a lot about the Mothman, but I'm a, you know.
You,
like,
you would believe
get,
it.
You yeah. should get into it. You'd believe it.
You would believe
You'd be
it.
Into
yeah.
it.
It's
some
amazing.
Weird
Because it's
phenomenon.
Real and it really did happen.
There's a movie.
Before we move, yes.
Yeah.
Read the book, too. The movie's loosely based on the book.
Okay.
Before we move on to the next half, or the end of the show, I guess, or the next segment, we haven't really touched upon your self-proclaimed love for Bigfoot or Yeti. Can
mm-hmm.
you just give us a hot 30-second take on Bigfoot and Yeti?
I just have... I really like cryptozoology, and I really... I just think there is just stuff that we don't know. We still haven't explored all of the ocean. We don't know... Things are there are still creatures being discovered in Laos. There are parts and places, and we just don't. There's just we don't know everything.
Amen.
Right. Yeah,
couldn't agree more.
Done. All right, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, it's time for this week's story of high strangeness.
Great, I love it.
Do it.
All right, we're back with this week's guest, Kulap Vilaysack, and boy, oh boy.
She scored 100 on the test.
We always say it's there's no right
guest.
Or wrong answers.
No, she got them all right. She's the only guest to ever have got them all right. Congratulations, Kulap.
Thank you so much. But like, yeah. when we talk about heaven, hell, the devil, like that doesn't, I mean, I wouldn't say necessarily as in Judeo-Christian.
Like a place. No, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
A place like, in the mind. An experience on Earth.
Sure, yes.
Amen. Got it. What are your feelings on the Loveland Frogman from Ohio?
I, I don't know about it.
He's a good cryptid. Thing he wasn't Weird in cryptid. There. A bunch of teenagers saw this life-size frog dude walking around.
Gulp.
Back in the 90s, 60s.
Gulp. Mm,
classic teens.
Classic horny teens. Okay, here we go.
Sexy teens.
Horny toad.
So we're doing Halloween-themed stuff this week. So scary stories, vampires, ghosts, the like. Last week, Bryce shared the story of a so-called imaginary ghost named Philip. And tonight's story is just as hauntingly scary, but it's all too real. I recently got done watching season 2 of Mindhunter. I'm a little into true crime right now.
Yeah.
A little bit in that. And this story is going to be a real gruesome, scary one. Okay. And for those of you who are a little sensitive, I'm going to go easy on the gore, but this is probably the most violent story we've ever done on the show.
Holy shit. All right.
Because Halloween brings haunted houses. And there is one house in the United States that's considered to be one of the most haunted houses. And that is the Villisca Axe Murder House.
Never heard of it.
So this got a lot of my sources from the story from Weird US, Atlas Obscura, Vice, Wikipedia, and a handful of Google searches. Okay, so at 9:30 p.m. on June 10th, 1912, in Villisca, Iowa, Josiah Moore, his wife Sarah Moore, and their children all came home from, were walking home from a day at the children's program at the Presbyterian Church. Their four children, Herman, Mary Catherine, Arthur, and Paul, as well as Mary Catherine's two friends, Ina May and Lena Gertrude Stillinger.
All haunted names.
The Stillinger sisters had been invited over to the Moors for a sleepover because they were staying with their grandma, but they were too scared to walk home in the dark. Sarah Moore had helped organize this event at the Presbyterian Church, so they all had all gone to church that Sunday, and then they came home for lunch, hung out, then they went back around 8 p.m. for this Children's Day event. So the Moore family were an affluent family. The house, their house itself, if you see it now, it's not very big. It's sort of an old school, kind of like prairie town, Edwardian style house. So it wasn't necessarily big for the time, but it had three bedrooms in it. And he was a businessman, well-respected in town. Everybody knew him. So the Moores returned to their house, and this being 1912 in Iowa, of course, they left their front door unlocked when they went to church. And they settled down for the evening.
People still do that in Iowa.
Well, they might want to start changing their ways. Because at 7 a.m. the next morning, the Moore's neighbor, Mary Peckham, became concerned when the usually lively Moore house had not yet woken for them for their morning chores. She's hanging out the laundry at 5 a.m. Of course she is. Monday morning, we got to start bright and early.
12, baby.
God bless those moms.
And usually the kids were all out. They had chickens, and there was usually a lot of activity over there. Yeah, stuff to do.
They don't have iPhones, right?
Yeah.
The sun is waking them up,
exactly.
Not the screens.
There are roosters that have business to attend to. So Mary grew concerned. She walked over to the house, knocked, and was answered with an eerie silence. Mary tried opening the front door, but discovered it was now locked. So Mary let the chickens out of their coop and returned home to call Josiah's brother, Ross, who had a spare key to the house. So Ross arrives a little while later, knocks on the door. He calls to his brother. He calls out to Sarah and the kids. Nobody answers. And the windows are all drawn, and they look around. They realize that the curtains are all drawn, and that some of them are covered by what they'll discover to be bed sheets. So he starts to freak out. He gets the key. He goes inside. He walks into the house. And the first room he goes into is the guest room where Ina May and her sister, Lena Gertrude Stillinger, had been sleeping. and discovers them brutally murdered in their bed. So he rushes outside. He phones down to Joe's hardware store, tells the guy there to get a hold of the local marshal. He's just a peacekeeper in town. This guy by the name of Henry Hank Horton. So Horton comes over, and he discovers, walks inside, discovers that all the windows have been covered with either drapes or blankets and sheets from inside the house. All the mirrors have been covered with what they think were Sarah's clothing. And he walks through the house to discover that Josiah, Sarah, and all six of their children, along with the Stillinger sisters, were all found in their beds, brutally murdered by an axe-wielding maniac. Their faces were all covered with cloths. Doctors would later claim the murders took place between midnight and 5 a.m. One theory is that the axe murderer used the sounds of a nearby passing train as cover to move about the house and conduct the slayings. They believe that the axe murderer, and they know that it was all done with an axe because the axe was left in the room with the Stillinger girls. So they believe that the murderer started in the master bedroom, killing Josiah using the blade of the axe. And this is really brutal. He cut him so badly that his eyes popped out of his head and were missing. And then he killed Sarah with the blunt end of the axe. And then he proceeded into the children's room, repeated that, murdered them with the blunt end of the axe before returning back to the master bedroom and laying even more blows on Josiah and Sarah. So he went back, and there's this gruesome detail. When he went back into the house, he kicked over a shoe that had already filled with blood from the first time he'd been in there. I told you guys, this is gruesome, scary, gory horror story for Halloween. So, and then finally, this piece of shit goes downstairs, and that's when he killed the Stillinger sisters. And they found that there were gouge marks from the axe on the ceiling of the master bedroom, and they knew that it was from the night of the murder because there was powder from the ceiling on the floor and on the bed. But it wasn't over where he had murdered, so he was just walking through the house, flinging this axe up over his head like just a total wild man. Yeah, just a crazy maniac. So in the guest room where the Stillinger sisters were found, Lena was pulled slightly off the bed and looked like she had defensive wounds, and they think that maybe she was the only one who woke up during the process. This is not cool. Trigger warning, her undergarments had been removed, tossed under the bed, and her nightgown had been pushed up over her waist. But later the coroner had said that there had been no evidence of any sexual assault. And they think that he posed the girls this way to be provocative and disgusting and scary. Now, maybe he sick and twistedly got off on some of that, but they found no evidence of that. But next to the axe on the floor of the room, they found a giant slab of bacon that he had taken out of the icebox and wrapped in cloth and put in the middle of the room. They also found an uneaten meal that he had prepared and placed in the kitchen next to a bowl full of bloody water.
Bro.
Yeah, dude.
God,
I know,
dude.
This is brutal. This is a scary, scary house. So,
fuck.
No one knew who performed this horrific act. Horton leaves to go get the coroner and get the rest of the authorities, any police force to come. And because it's 1912 and a small town, somehow word got out over the phone lines. And literally the operators were calling businesses and telling people and calling homes and letting word just instantly spread because of the telephone that this had happened. So while Horton is away getting help and the bodies are still in the house, crowds of people come to the house and start walking through the house to take a look at the bodies.
What
and people were taking things from the house. They say that somebody even collected a piece of Josiah's skull because there's just brain matter and blood everywhere. So they completely contaminate the crime scene. And they said that Horton comes back with the coroner and investigator, and as they're getting people out of the front door, more people are coming through the back door. Overall, more than 100 people tromped through the crime scene.
And, why?
Well, because they just didn't have police procedures back then. It's 1912.
The back curiosity.
But would you do that?
Or
though?
Maybe they needed
would,
iPhones.
Would you do that?
I mean,
like,
geez.
Well, would you do that?
Have it was a small town. People were trying. He was a famous guy in town. People just wanted to go get a look for themselves and see what
My
was happening.
God.
This is before CNN. This is before true crime stuff. This also goes to show that we've had a fascination with true crime forever. But back then, the way the police procedures and detective work was done, everything relied on eyewitness account.
Right.
This was one of the big problems with, which
no
only
DNA.
Happened 10 years before, 20 years before, was with Jack the Ripper cases.
Yeah.
You know, fingerprinting was like a new thing. There obviously wasn't a lot of DNA. There was no such thing.
I mean, there was the Salem witch trials. They're like, she was naked and, in a field.
Fingerprinting started to become a thing. But when you have 100 people walking through the house, touching everything, you're fucked.
Of course.
So,
yuck.
By the time the authorities got back, there had been over 100 people stomping through the crime scene. There was one additional really scary detail that when the investigator went in, they went up into the attic and found that there were cigarette butts up in the attic, and what they think was that the killer had come in while they were away at church, hid up in the attic and waited for the night for the family to go to bed at night, and then creeped down sometime between midnight and 5 a.m. maybe when that train passed by, because they were near the train tracks. And there's a theory that I won't go super into, but later, there's a book that's come out more recently that they think that the killer was a guy who was riding down this train line, this South Coast train line. What was it called? Southern something train line. I have to look it up. And because there were other axe murders happening around this time all throughout the Midwest, Colorado, Paola, Kansas, Oklahoma. And they were all, there's one theory that this guy was riding down the train and doing it because they were all tended to be families that were near train tracks.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Was their house so close to the train tracks? The part where none of them woke up is crazy to me. They were so close to the train tracks that the train
That's one of the mysteries of this whole thing is the family. It's kind of like the Amityville murders where the whole family was killed in their beds and no one was awake. And in that one, I can't remember the name of the guy, but he went through and shot everybody with a shotgun.
Yeah.
And so some people think, I read that there's a theory that maybe the murderer had drugged their food, so they didn't wake up. But it could have been that they were, I mean, I grew up, one of my sister's house was near train tracks when, and I've, you know, spent the night. They're loud. They're super loud. So it's possible. We just don't know. But it also might explain an MO if this guy knew that the moving train could also be part of his cover. It might help get away with it.
Right.
This is all speculative. And you know, I haven't read that book, but, a few suspects were questioned, including a minister by the name of Reverend George Kelly. He had a history of sexual deviancy that included peeping in windows and asking women to pose naked for him. Kelly had apparently undergone some kind of mental breakdown when he was a teenager and was considered mentally ill. I don't know how he became a reverend. After the murders, he became fascinated with the case and started writing into the police department, like true crime fanatic style. And he was giving details and asking questions that they ultimately were like, did he have something to do with this? He was arrested in 1914, 2 years later, for sending lewd material through the mail to a woman who had applied for a job as his secretary. So I think we're talking about Edwardian dick pics. After he was arrested for that, he spent time in the state mental hospital, or a county mental hospital, one of the two, and the nurses there and the doctors there were like, this guy might be the axe murderer. So he was arrested in 1917 after a couple suspects led to nothing. And he even confessed to the murder, quickly recanted, He was tried twice. The first time, I believe, was a hung jury. And then they tried him again, and they acquitted him because people were like, this guy's so crazy, we can't believe anything he says. Also, he was a really short guy, and they didn't think he was tall enough to make the gouge marks in the ceiling of the house.
Interesting.
Nor did they think that his small size would have been able to like overtake an entire family of eight people. So... So the Beliska Axe Murder House stood empty for years. I mean, I think other people moved in, but more recently was empty, ultimately falling into near disrepair until in 1994, when a man by the name of Darwin Lynn bought the residence behind his wife's back. He didn't tell her that he was going to buy it.
And then he don't need to worry about that.
He restored it to its original 1912 condition, renovated it, so it took out all the electricity, made out just a gas stove. The only thing that he put in there was one air conditioning window unit that ran out from an extension cord, because otherwise it would get really, really, really hot in there. And he originally set it up as a true crime attraction to boost local tourist economy. But the house quickly became a destination for paranormal investigators and ghost hunters who have all reported over the years numerous strange phenomena, including but not limited to orbs, the sounds of dripping blood, intense drops or increases in temperature, moving children's toys in the house, EVPs, the sounds of children crying, especially the sound of a little girl crying from inside one of the closets. They think that maybe Lena hid in that closet during the murders. There are also urban legends that if you look in the house at certain times of night, you can see the family in there. They say the upstairs of the house shifts, the images of the house itself seem to change upstairs and look different than they do, and the master bedroom is said to fill up with mist at night. Some eyewitness account ghost hunters said that the paranormal investigator saw the place fill up with this like black mist in between the hours of 12 a.m. or 12 midnight and 5 a.m. Season 4, episode 13 of Ghost Adventures was filmed at the Beliska Axe Murder House, which might be the most high-profile investigation to take place in the house, but certainly not the strangest. So the house is actually open to the public, and for upwards of $420 a night, anybody can spend the night there.
No, bro.
Don't do it.
You'll get cursed.
Do your own amateur... paranormal investigation. People bring in crystals. They bring in Ouija boards. They bring in all their own EVP equipment. On the night of November 7th, 2014, during a recreational paranormal investigation, a man by the name of Robert Stephen Lauren Jr., 37, of Rhinelander, Wisconsin, split from his group of friends, went upstairs and was hanging out in the northwest bedroom. Now, I don't know if this is one of the kids' bedrooms or the master bedroom. It's probably one of the kids' bedrooms because they don't specify it as being the master bedroom. Around 12:45 p.m., his friends found him in the room suffering from a self-inflicted stab wound to the chest.
Oh, man.
He stabbed himself in the chest, and nobody knows why he did it. They rushed him to the hospital, where he survived his self-inflicted stabbing, but then said to the press, out of respect for the Moore family, he refused to comment on it any further. Yeah. And no one knows what drove him to do this.
The house, dude.
Wow. So did they specify what kind of blade?
Did he bring it? I didn't see it. I assume it's something that he brought.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I don't know. I should probably look that up. But
I just want to. I want to know if it was an axe.
Was it a?
That's what
knife?
I want to know. Was it his axe? Was it a phantom axe?
The axe still exists. It's in a museum in town. And
why?
Sometimes people bring the axe from the museum. they're clearly very lackadaisical about these rules.
Yeah, they need stricter
back
protocols.
Back to the
here.
House to see what sort of evil demonic energy it'll inspire in the house.
No. Uh-uh. That is too much.
There's a documentary filmmaker named Kelly Rundle who made the movie Velisca, Living with a Mystery, and she stated there is a whole body, she told Vice magazine, there's a whole body of folklore surrounding the Moore murders. And that in itself is fascinating, so long as you keep in mind that it's folklore, not fact. So I just regard the paranormal sightings as a contemporary version of that. It's an extension of the folklore that began on the day of the murders. Folklore can tell you more about how people see themselves and how they see the world than it does the facts surrounding the case. Mm. And that is the story of the Velisca Axe Murder House.
Wow. Crazy shit.
Great. What the hell is that?
What is the folklore? That it was...
Well, I think the folklore meaning that... you know, there's all these different suspects surrounding it. It's a mystery. No one knows what happens.
Okay, okay.
You know, like one of the suspects was actually there was like a I think Josiah's brother-in-law threatened to murder him at some point, and they questioned him, but he had an alibi. There was another.
That's Ross. Is that his name?
No, that was his brother. His brother-in-law.
Oh, right.
And then there was like there was rumors that there was a. A senator had sent like a cocaine fueled assassin to go kill. Like all these stories came up, but they all the suspects led to nothing.
Yeah, and then the guy was long gone.
And then the people that looked like this is our dude. There was one guy who rolled through town that night that they were like, "Oh, this guy's crazy and he's violent." And there was a detective by the name of Wilkinson. Who was trying to build a case. He thought that he was, this dude was, I can't remember the guy's name, slipping my brain, but he was responsible for the axe murders in Colorado Springs and Paola that also had drapes over the mirrors and the windows covered, some similar stuff. But the guy had an alibi that he was getting a paycheck at the time, like in a different town at the time of the murders.
Oh, wow.
So they always had trouble. And then that guy sued that detective for like $2,000 in personal damages because, you know, but
right, yeah, right.
But they, and then this other book by the guy who wrote Moneyball and his daughter wrote the book called The Man from the Train. And that's they think it's this other dude that was traveling the rail systems at that time. So it's just crazy. So there's all this mystery. There's stuff of people being like, it's haunted. It's a demonic place. It's an evil place. So
it's funny. Why not raise it to the ground?
Well, at one point they were going to. They were going to burn it down. But I guess a governor, the Iowa governor, came through town in the early 90s, and he was like, you know, it's really good for local economy is tourism. And that's when the guy,
I mean, it sounds like it.
That's
when
that guy was like, hey, why don't I buy this and save it as a historical? And now it's become like a historical landmark.
Right.
Yeah.
People really like that kind of stuff.
It's crazy.
They sure do.
It's
a lot
spooky,
of money.
Spooky. Wow. Horrible house of horrors.
There was one detail I want to know more about, if you have any more tidbits about the freaking bacon in the middle of the room.
Well,
what's that
all right,
all
this
about?
One's a little sick. So there was a theory that he put that there and used it as a quote unquote artificial vagina
lubricant
while he was having sex with the
Aren't
bacon while staring
asked?
At the dead bodies of the girls, because Ina was also, she was facing the wall, but her torso, her lower half was twisted and her butt was exposed. And he clearly did that to shock people.
Oh, right.
But again, they like looked at this bacon. There was like, nobody's been fucking this bacon. So they don't know. It's just had these weird little rituals. They weren't sure. And he covered all their faces, which they talk about on the new season of Mindhunter, like a way for the killer. Or I think it was that, or it was maybe on, I may have heard this on last podcast, honestly, that it's a way of when people cover the mirrors and the windows, it's in the victim's faces. It's a way they don't want to be seen. It's a way of them being unseen after having done it. So it's just silent, weird. It's just crazy.
I have another question, follow-up question. Mm-hmm. Were there any like other cases of like axe murders that linked up with that one?
Yeah, yeah. So Wilkinson, the detective, was trying to pin it on this other guy because he was like, this sounds similar to the ones that happened in Colorado Springs and Paola.
Right.
Couldn't make that case. And then this new book, The Man on the Train, puts together a lot of those cases. And family thinks that this father and daughter... think that they've solved it, but of course the guy who would be the killer is like long dead. But this person, this suspect, they think was responsible for over 250 murders around this time. Most of them were axe murders. So clearly,
eight in this house.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's.
And there were families that were, of course, not white and went unreported, so they think there were even more. Right. There was one story in this book, Man on the Train, about an affluent African-American gentleman who was like well-known around town, written about in the paper a lot, and he was murdered, and they think he's connected, but one of the reasons that his murder was written about was because he was kind of like a local celebrity. Mm. But there were other families that they think went unreported because... And they went through just all of these old, they went over like through 1,000 newspaper articles at the time, just trying to find all these reports of axe murders. And they started to go, hey, it's all running along this train line that's running through the Midwest. And all these houses were near the train, like the Moore family's house. So they think it's a guy who's just riding the rails and doing it. I mean, who knows? You know, they haven't been able to prove it, but I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty... Wow. Scary. Wow. True really crime ghost dog. Serial killer story. Well, I hope you sleep well tonight.
Yeah, check your attics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kulak, any final thoughts on the House of Horrors?
All three of you are walking me to my car. Absolutely. We're checking the trunk. We're underneath. We're looking inside.
We'll get our flashlights out. Is true crime something that, you know, we don't really go into too much here, but this one, of course, is like. Feels appropriate for the season. And obviously, you know, this is a horrible thing. Real people died. But because it happened so long ago, I think I'm better at compartmentalizing it, which I know isn't great, but
man. And you're like, because there was an orb, we can share it here.
A single orb.
Big destination. It's considered one of the most haunted houses in America.
Yeah. You know, you just have to wonder, does trauma leave an imprint on a place or on a time?
Certainly on a person.
Certainly on a, doubt about it, you know? I mean, do these sort of recreational visitors bring their own sort of latent psychical phenomena to the property?
Further contaminating it?
Yeah, or causing these strange things.
What we're talking about is our sacrifices, right? To like that in this home, let's go down that route. That this violence and the sacrifice to created a dark force.
There's a ritual to it
that remained in the home.
Yeah, and you know, people can bring their own latent psychic abilities to a place or a time and cause sort of paranormal phenomena to occur.
Well, certainly there was no indication that this was an unhappy home before this happened. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I would say it was an invasion of that home, and that invasion left its mark.
Yeah, it left its mark. Yeah, or the spirits of those people have decided to use their post life energy to corrupt and haunt this place.
The book is called The Man from the Train, 2017, so it's recent, written by Bill James and his daughter Rachel McCarthy James. So I'll throw up a bunch of links to all this stuff if you're into it, want to check it out. But spooky stuff. Kulap.
Yes.
Where can people find your work?
Oh, well, you can, just IMDb me.
Cool. Right.
Do it.
I'm so sorry about that. Let's see. What you can find me on Twitter at Kulop, on Instagram at I am Kulop. I got a website, kulopvilisock.com.
Where can we watch the latest season of Bajillion Dollar Properties?
Bajillion Dollar Properties, you can watch it for free on Pluto TV, on demand, also on their Funny AF channel. You can also get it on Amazon, rent it on Amazon, rent it on Prime.
Great.
Amazon, and also on iTunes.
Great. And Origin Story?
Amazon Prime, and on iTunes.
I'm all over that.
Guys, I have a plug, if I may. The new season of Robot Chicken is airing right now.
Oh, yeah. Congrats,
which I wrote on,
dude. That's
season
awesome.
10.
Very cool.
My stuff is in the back half of the season, so specifically episodes 9 through 12 I wrote on, and I do some voices on it this season as
check
well.
Check
it
out.
Please check that out.
Fun.
Bryce's Secret Project, probably happening in November.
Yep.
Maybe by the time you're hearing this, we've announced it.
God, wouldn't that be nice?
I said airing. Can I say airing? Can we say what it is?
No, not yet.
I mean,
no.
Can we say what format it is?
No.
Can we say it's a movie?
No.
No.
Can we say it's another podcast?
No, it's certainly not another podcast.
You're already roped into one. All right, fair enough. Grace Mitchell, any new music you want to plug?
I'm working on a record right now, and
great.
It's going to be it's very good. I'm excited to finish it. It's been a long time coming. So,
dope.
Congrats.
Yeah. That's sweet. Congratulations.
Thanks.
And of course, people can find you on Instagram.
Yeah.
And
at Grace Mitchell. You can look at me on Twitter. I'm at Grace Mitchell. You can look at my Wikipedia page. No, I don't know. Yeah. Instagram and Twitter is like where I'm most active. I don't
fantastic.
Have Facebook. So.
Well, thank you so much
yeah,
for filling
thank you
in for
filling
Riley
in
today.
For Riley. He.
R.I.P. No,
we
just
love
kidding.
That.
Yeah, right.
Everybody listening, please do us a favor. Go to Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe. It really, really helps get the show to more people. We'd appreciate that. And until next week, I remain Michael McMillan for Bryce Johnson, Riley Bray, and Grace Mitchell. Thanks again to Kulop for being here. And until...
Wait, so is there a chance some week that you will not remain who you are?
That's just what they say. Until then, I remain. I mean, who knows? We're talking about personal transformation.
All right.
I might be half Naga. Guys, you know what to do.
Golden
good night.
Child.
Good night.
And if you want to talk about regression, come meet me by the Orange Julius.
Oh!
Hot. Go.
Oh my God, Bryce.
Get back in your car as fast as you can and drive away. Go get regressed. Bye, guys.
Later. Bigfoot Collectors Club is produced by Riley Bray. Our theme song is Come Alone by Sun Eaters, courtesy of Lotus Pool Records. If you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. It really helps get the podcast to more listeners. To support the show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/Bigfoot Collectors Club and unlock multiple reward episodes every month.
Hey guys, Heather Ashley here, host of the Big Mad True Crime Podcast. If you're looking for a true crime podcast with all of the details and none of the small talk, you have found your people. Each week, we dive deep into a new case and learn everything there is to know, from getting to know the victim and the impact their case has had on those around them, to the investigation into what happened to them and who is or might be responsible. And if the bad guy looks like he might drink whiskey by a dumpster or has the social skills of an ogre, we say it because we were all thinking it anyway. As the name suggests, we get big mad over true crime, and I would love to have you join our incredible community of listeners with big hearts and zero time for small talk. Subscribe to Big Mad True Crime anywhere you listen to podcasts and listen to new episodes every single Monday.
Hey, this is Eric Molinsky, host of the podcast Imaginary Worlds. Each episode, I explore different sci-fi fantasy genres, talking with filmmakers, novelists, game designers, cosplayers, comic book artists, and anyone who works in the field of make-believe. I also look at the fan experience, asking, why do we suspend our disbelief? You can subscribe to Imaginary Worlds wherever you get your podcasts.